NASA shuffles the schedule to get Endeavour launched. The pilot thought he had 110 gallons. NTSB drained a quart. And a student pilot is down with two passengers. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, June 16th, 2009. NASA says it's rescheduled the launch of the Space Shuttle Endeavour for tomorrow morning at 5:40 a.m. Eastern Time. The launch was originally scheduled for Saturday, but had to be delayed when a leak was discovered in the vent system that evacuates excess hydrogen gas from Launch Pad 39A. To avoid a conflict, NASA has pushed back tomorrow's scheduled launch of two lunar probes by one day, the Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter and the Lunar Crater Observation and Sensing Satellite will share an Atlas V rocket for their boost into space on Thursday. Authorities say three people are apparently dead after a 1969 Piper Cherokee crashed into the Mohawk River in New York on takeoff from Mohawk Valley Airport on Sunday. According to various media reports, witnesses say the plane bounded down the runway, struggled to get into the air, then lost power before crashing tail first into the river. Nearby fishermen tried to get the plane's door open as it sank, then marked the spot where it went down to assist rescue divers. One of the apparent victims is real estate developer George Coleth, who holds a student pilot's license. The plane was registered to Coleth Airlines, LLC. Witnesses told the Albany Times-Union they had seen three people, two men and a boy, get into the airplane. Pilot Skip Ryan, who was waiting to take off and saw the crash, told the paper he'd seen the plane miss two approaches before finally landing earlier that day. Rescue divers pulled the bodies of a 52-year-old man and an 11-year-old boy from the plane, which sank in 20 to 30 feet of water. The third victim, thought to be Coleth, has yet to be recovered. The National Transportation Safety Board has released a preliminary report on the May 25th crash of an Aero Commander in Daytona Beach, Florida. About a minute after takeoff from runway 7 right, the pilot radioed a report of an engine failure and announced his intent to return to the runway. Witnesses on the ground reported what they called a radical turn, with one engine stopped and the other surging. Radar records show erratic changes in altitude during the attempt to return. The plane ultimately came down on the 1,000-foot grass safety area off the approach end of runway 25 right. Investigators say the plane had a capacity of 226 gallons of fuel, but contained only trace amounts when examined. Pilot Andy Clark said he thought he'd taken off with about 110 gallons. Clark was injured in the crash. His 80-year-old father, Doug Clark, died. A final report on probable cause is expected from the NTSB next spring. Up next on ANN, Trans-States Airlines pilots vote to approve a strike. Problems at the regionals are getting top-level attention. And Airbus warns deeper production cuts may be coming. You're listening to Aero News.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits? That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin Wass Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approach aids. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for June 16th. I'm Paul Platt. Trans-States Airlines, which flies regional jets under code-sharing agreements with United and U.S. Airways, may be facing a pilot strike. Captain Jason Rusin is chairman of the TSA arm of the Airline Pilots Association, which saw 96% of participating pilots vote to authorize a strike. Rusin commented, quote, "While we remain optimistic that our goals at the negotiating table can be achieved without a strike, our strike preparations are complete, and we stand ready to support our membership if it becomes necessary," unquote. Negotiations have dragged on for more than 3 years, despite involvement by the National Mediation Board since February of 07. If the board officially declares impasse, a strike could follow 30 days later. The union says Trans-States is among the most profitable airlines and the fifth largest independent carrier in the regional industry, while pilot pay is 7 to 23% below that of other pilots at airlines of comparable size providing comparable service. Senior officials from U.S. airlines, pilot unions, and the FAA have reportedly agreed on several major actions to to improve safety programs and pilot training at the nation's airlines. Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood and FAA Administrator Randy Babbitt asked the stakeholders to identify immediate steps to strengthen and improve pilot hiring, training, and testing practices at airlines that provide regional service, as well as at the country's major air carriers. So far, participants have agreed on best practices for a search for all records available from a prospective airline pilot's career and development of a mentoring program that might pair regional pilots with experienced mainline captains. Babbitt also promises FAA rulemaking on pilot rest that takes into account scientific research on fatigue. The FAA and industry reps now plan to hold as many as 10 meetings throughout the country to assure that every carrier and pilot union has the opportunity to commit to these actions and to identify additional best practices that can be shared. Pakistani forces have four new Russian Mi-17 cargo helicopters to support their missions, but they didn't come from Russia. They're from the U.S. military, which keeps several of the medium-lift helicopters in its inventory, primarily for use as trainers. Army General David Petraeus, commander of the U.S. Central Command, praised the speed in which the delivery was made. Quote, "Within 2 or 3 weeks of the request from them for helicopter support, we wheeled four Mi-17s just refurbished out of the back of a Colt," unquote. Defense Secretary Robert Gates called the efforts a vital element of the president's new Afghanistan-Pakistan strategy. Airbus execs warned investors and industry watchers over the weekend that its output of new airliners could drop by 25% in 2009, as the continuing recession stunts orders for new planes. The company had already announced plans to slow production of the A320, A330, and A380 by a total of about 15%, but EADS CEO Louis Gallois, quoted in the Sunday New York Times, says that may not be enough. Quote, "We have the flexibility to go further if needed. We are very sensitive to what will happen in the second half of the year to see if we reach the bottom of the swimming pool. We have no capacity now to see what will be the depth of the crisis," unquote. Airbus CEO Tom Enders hinted that production cuts of 15 to 25% could last through 2011 if market conditions persist. As significant as such cuts would be, some industry observers say even 25% may be optimistic. In April, International Lease Finance Corp. CEO Stephen Udvar-Hazy opined that global production by both Airbus and Boeing might need to fall by as much as 35% by the end of 2010. Still ahead, Avadyne's Integra Release 9 is now being installed in customer aircraft. The unmanned Global Hawk will be used to study climate change. And will stacking passengers provide more legroom in coach? You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. One reason that they can say that is because of Clarity Aloft's flexible boom arm. This featherweight band is the same one sported by stage musicians and performers the world over. Balance and comfort are the result of its elegantly simple design. The mic boom is easily repositioned for eating and drinking during flight without disturbing your earpieces. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, June 16th. I'm Paul Platt. The first retrofit of Avadyne's Integra Release 9 into a customer's Cirrus aircraft has been completed. Avadyne tells ANN that Eagle Creek Aviation Services of Indianapolis installed the upgrade into an SR-22 owned by Bill Frank, who commented, quote, "As a longtime Cirrus owner, I've been a big fan of Avadyne's renowned ease of use, so the decision to upgrade to Integra Release 9 was an easy one for me. When I learned that Eagle Creek was already approved as an R9 installation center, it made my decision even easier," unquote. MSRP for the Release 9 Cirrus retrofit is about $73,000, and that includes dual XGA displays, FMS keyboard, dual GPS FMS receivers, dual 16-watt VHF comm radios, and an MLB 700 XM Sirius broadcast data link receiver. NASA and Northrop Grumman have unveiled the first Global Hawk unmanned aircraft system to be used for environmental science research. The debut took place last Thursday at NASA's Dryden Flight Research Center in Edwards, California. Global Hawk can fly at altitudes up to 65,000 feet for more than 31 hours at a time. NASA's Global Hawk Pacific 2009 program will consist of 6 long-duration missions over the Pacific and Arctic regions in the late spring and early summer of this year. 12 scientific instruments will collect atmospheric data while flying in the upper troposphere and lower stratosphere. As it did last year, EAA is adding another 2 weeks to the deadline for purchasing discounted AirVenture tickets online. The deadline for the discount is now June 30th, but EAA stresses you'll still be able to order online at the regular admission price after that date. The limited-time discount is $5 on every weekly adult ticket and $2 on every daily adult ticket. You can order through the tickets link on the right side of the homepage at airventure.org. Finally, if you already feel like you're stacked on top of other passengers when you're flying in coach, you may not be thrilled to hear that one inventor is trying to revise cabins to literally stack passengers. But try it. You may like it. Emil Jacob tells the Boston Globe the idea came to him when he awoke from sleeping on the floor of a flight from Bucharest to Paris and realized that there's vertical space on airliners going to waste. His idea is to stagger the height of every other row of seats, allowing a greater range of reclining and making sleeping easier. Ironically, while Jacob received a patent on his idea in 2006, he's only now getting time to develop it further because he just lost his job at an economics consulting company. If he's successful, you might one day hear a whole new set of announcements when you land.
Ladies and gentlemen, please use caution when opening the overhead bins. Your items may have shifted in flight, and the lid may hit the guy sleeping above you.
That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, Dee Whittington of the Virginia Regional Festival of Flight shares the welcome news of a successful 2009 event and offers thoughts on why the regional fly-in did so well. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Odeo, and at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.